You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
How vulnerable is the U.S. to attacks from cyberspace? Some would have us believe that possibility is imminent and the scale catastrophic. But foreign policy analyst Con Hallinan is not convinced. Indeed, he believes there is another agenda beneath the fear-mongering. To discuss the issue, we've reached him in California. Con Hallinan is a columnist for Foreign Policy in Focus, and his recent article is titled Cyber War, Reality or Hype? Good morning, Con, and thanks for taking the time to join us here in Vancouver.
Glad to be here, Morgan.
Give us some of the names of the people in the United States who are promoting the idea of cyber attacks on America.
Well, there are people in Congress. Representative Mike Rogers, who's a Republican from Michigan, and to a certain extent. But Dianne Feinstein, who's a senator from California. But I think that the main kind of stuff about, you know, how the end of the world is coming are mostly come out of the intelligence community. And so you get people like Michael Hayden, who's a former director of the National Security Agency and the CIA. You get Clark, who is written a book on cyber war, basically saying that you have this situation where you could shut down the United States in a couple of hours. That he's got a line. Clark has a line in his book in which he talks about this sort of airplanes falling out of the sky, and Richard Clark is a guy who, if listeners will remember who Richard Clark is. He's the guy who says that he predicted 9/11 and that he was ignored by the Bush administration. And he's sort of ubiquitous on television and things like that. And in his book, Cyber War, he projects this kind of scenario in which you have thousands and thousands of dead, and that you would completely disrupt the whole country, and the national power grid would go down, and trains would crash, and sort of really, kind of 2012 movie kind of stuff. So you have this kind of group of people who are talking about this, but what I try to do is to suggest that you really have to look at whether those scenarios are possible. And then I think you also have to do two things, and that is you have to say, who's this sort of focused on? And let's follow the buck, which is what I think all reporting should do. I mean, is there somebody who's going to make a profit off of this, and so therefore is in their interest to talk about it?
Well, let's follow that track that you've just laid out down the line a bit. Who's got the money interest in this happening?
Well, first of all, this is, according to Northrop executive Ken Schneider, the market for cyber arms and security in the United States is about $100 billion. And between now and 2015, the U.S. will spend about $10.5 billion on cybersecurity. So it tells you that there's a lot of bucks out there. And you sort of follow who's spending these bucks, is that a lot of the big arms corporations, for instance, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, a lot of other munitions manufacturers are moving very heavily into the cybersecurity market. And they started doing this a couple years ago, and they have snapped up these cybersecurity companies like Argon ST and Naris and others, and Applied Signal Technology, etc. And what they're doing is that then suddenly you get this talk, you know, about how the world is going to be shut down. Well, you know, the Clark I talked about is also the chair of a firm that consults on cybersecurity, countries like Booz Allen Hamilton that work with defense contractors, and they constantly talk about how what the danger is out there and stuff. And so you certainly are looking at a very lucrative market, and people are moving in the direction of this $100 billion basket of potential profits.
Well, 9/11 brought us a whole explosion of security corporations and big money going into that. But it also was targeted at certain quote-unquote enemies. Aside from the money, who is being targeted as the enemy that supposedly is preparing to launch the cyber attacks?
China. And in all of the hearings that they've had in the Congress, China's the bugaboo. China is attempting to use cyber war to get into our security systems, the Pentagon, the International Monetary Fund, etc. And again, I don't think this is an accident. What's happened over the past year and a half, is that the Obama administration has made a strategic pivot, and that actually is their term, strategic pivot, in the direction of Asia. And when they were talking about cutting the arms budget, the Obama administration said, well, they are going to cut the arms budget, but not in relationship to any of the forces that are deployed in Asia. In fact, they're deploying 2,500 Marines into Australia. It's the first time that we've had armed forces in Australia since the end of the Second World War. There is a lot of tension right now in the South China Seas, and much of this is directed at China, and they're quite quite clear about it. The Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in August made a speech in which she said, that essentially we know we face some long-term challenges about how we're going to cope with what the rise of China means, unquote. So that China has become this sort of bugaboo, and it's very ironic because they're also our largest trading partner. They own huge amounts of American financial bonds and stocks and all sorts of stuff. So you've got this odd situation of where the Chinese are seen as this danger, and that they're launching cyber war against the United States, and at the same time, we're utterly dependent on the global sense on the Chinese economy to keep the United States out of recession. So it's this odd division. There's no question that there is a strategic shift away from out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan and in the direction of Asia and also Africa too. I think the thing that people need to recognize is that there's a big difference between what we call cyber war and what you call, spying. It is traditional, and it has probably existed since the first company was formed, I don't know when, in ancient Egypt or Mesopotamia or whatever, that there's a certain amount of industrial espionage that goes on, and goes on, everybody does it. And that's a standard kind of thing. People want to find out what your sales plans are, they want to find out what your technology is, and all of this kind of stuff. And that's a standard thing which every country is engaged in, which the United States is engaged in, and all of our allies are engaged in. But cyber war is different. Cyber war is something where you're talking about using computers essentially as a weapon. In other words, to disarm a foe, like Clark is talking about. There's no evidence that that is going on. And there's no particular evidence that it would be particularly effective. Just one small example. One of the things that Clark and a lot of other people talk about is that the Chinese have the potential, using cyber war, of shutting down the American power grid. But there is no American power grid. There are at least 18 or more than 100 major power grids in the United States. We don't have a national power grid. So a cyber war specialist would have to somehow access over 100 different networks in order to shut down the power grid. And it's not going to happen. I mean, it's one of these things that Seymour Hersh, writing in The New Yorker, you know, talks about as a sort of gross exaggeration. But I do think the dangerous part of it is that it's part of this kind of drumbeat about the threat of China. And behind that drumbeat, not only do you have this kind of massive spending on cybersecurity, but it goes into whether you keep aircraft carriers, and the answer is yes, you keep aircraft carriers, and whether you expand your submarine fleet, and the answer is yes, you expand your submarine fleet, and whether you start putting troops on the ground in Asia more than we have right now, and the answer is yes, you start doing that. I think that's the real thing that people need to pay attention to: the creation of another enemy. It used to be Soviet communism, and then we have the war on terror, and now we have China.
There was a bragging match, certainly the Israelis and the Americans, in terms of screwing up the system of Iran when it, part of their technology. I guess that would figure in a bit more than espionage, but into a sort of cyber war. Is the U.S. really a power that in this sphere is actually dominant?
Well, it is interesting that the United States is kind of making all these statements about the dangers of cyber war. And the only people who are involved in real cyber war at this point is the United States and Israel. And what you're talking about is the Sputnik virus, which was a virus that has now infected about 30,000 computers in Iran. Now, it hasn't just stayed in Iran. It spread to Pakistan and China as well. I mean, that's the problems of viruses. You know, they're not very, sort of by definition, they really are a virus, just like a sort of biological virus. And once you create them, you can't control exactly where they're going to go. And they spread all over the place. And so they've spread to other countries as well. The effect of this Sputnik virus, it appears, and we don't know for certain, but it appears to have been to have shut down a large number of the section of the Iranian nuclear industry that was enriching uranium, and that these spinners that you use to create the enriched uranium, that a lot of those were shut down and very badly damaged and things like that. The U.S. doesn't acknowledge, of course, that they have anything to do with the Sputnik virus, and neither do the Israelis, but almost all experts argue that that the United States and Israel both helped design this virus, and people are kind of reverse engineering and sort of tracking it down. But the idea that the United States is somehow endangered by cyber war, again, I think this is part of the kind of hype around here. Most experts will say that the United States is way ahead of the curve. It's not way behind the curve. It has very advanced cyber war capabilities and defense systems. again, you know, I think that you need to be careful here. Don't confuse kind of industrial spying, which goes on everywhere and everybody, including us, with cyber war, which is one nation attempting to disarm another nation or to damage that nation badly enough that they might be susceptible to a military attack or simply do what you're doing with Iran now, which is to create sort of economic chaos and to force the Iranians to do what you want them to do.
One last thought. Does this hype about the foreign threat of cyber war provide any opening for greater surveillance inside the United States on the populace as a whole?
Well, that's the real downside of this. There's a battle that's going on right now, and the Pentagon, the Defense Department, has been arguing against using encryption technology, which is the obvious way to ensure that you have cybersecurity, right? Now, everything's encrypted, and then you would force an opponent to essentially decode every single piece of encryption. So the industry says, look, we'll encrypt everything. And the Pentagon doesn't want that, because the Pentagon wants to be able to listen in on everything. And they're opposed to encryption. And what they instead want to do is that they basically want to create a vast bureaucracy, and they're in the process of doing so now, a vast bureaucracy that will be able to listen in on all your emails. Basically, it would be in everybody's computer, and so that you would have essentially there would be no privacy in this country. And I think that giving the government the power to monitor the internet is something that we ought to be very, very careful about doing, because if the government and if the bureaucracy has the ability and the right to monitor the internet, they will do so. And then eventually what they will do is that they will be able to literally look into everybody's, anything you do on a computer. I mean, think for a moment. Suppose you had a wiretap on your phone. How would that restrict what you would say and what you would do over a phone? And I think most people would say, yeah, I'd be very careful about what I said and what I did and all of this kind of stuff, because I don't know how that would look, and, you know, even if it isn't illegal, it might look bad or whatever. Well, the same thing is going to be in terms of computers, except that in the case of computers, we use computers for so much of every single thing we do. It would mean that, I know it's a cliche, but it's Big Brother. And Big Brother would have his ear right into your house or your business or your radio station or whatever, and they would be able to listen to everything. And that, you know, that's something I think Americans should think very seriously about, and don't get panicked by this cyber war stuff into doing what people did after 9/11, which is to give up a lot of basic constitutional rights because they were fearful of terrorism.
Well, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning, Con.
Thank you for having me, Martin.
All right. I've been speaking with Con Hallinan. He's a columnist for Foreign Policy in Focus. His recent article, Cyber War, Reality or Hype, can be found on the Foreign Policy in Focus website, fpif.org.